This is the story from the Gospel of John. It's a long reading if you'd like to sit down. The sisters of Lazarus sent word to Jesus saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but it's for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then, after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." And Martha said, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." He became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. And so the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" And so Jesus was perturbed again. He came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" And so they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you have sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. And so Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." And now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. People of God, hear what the Spirit is saying. Sometimes it feels like parts of our lives are just shut down. They become locked away, unreachable, or totally closed off. There can be periods when parts of who we are feel like they are walled in, not just challenging, but kind of sealed away. Something in our life feels not just painful, but inaccessible. It can be as if we are entombed. The scriptures today speak directly to those moments. They are resurrection texts, but not the kind that are going to float us away to heaven. They are gritty, embodied, this world resurrection stories. They speak of breath returning to lungs, hearts beating again, and people stepping out of places where they were never meant to stay. And at the center of all these stories, I believe, is love. In Ezekiel, the people of Israel are not dead in the biological sense, but they are dead in spirit. They are exiled, crushed, cut off, convinced that their story is over, and they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Many LGBTQ plus people know this feeling well. They know what it is to be told by families, churches, governments, or cultures that their lives are mistakes, that their loves are wrong, that their bodies are suspect, that their futures are limited. They know what it is to internalize that despair, to feel dried up, to feel cut off. Every person here, gay or straight, may have felt this at some time. God's response is not correction. God does not say, you got yourself into this. God does not say, if only you had been different. God says, I'm going to open your graves, not if you behave, not once you've changed, not after you prove yourself worthy. God opens graves because God's nature is life. God's nature is love. God's nature is liberation. God is always with those on the edges. This is not resurrection as a reward. It's resurrection as a promise. Nowhere is that clearer than in today's gospel. Lazarus is sick. The sisters, Mary and Martha, send word to Jesus. And John is careful to tell us something very important before saying anything else. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. That sentence matters because everything that follows, every delay, every question, every tear happens within that love. It's not a detached Jesus. This is not a cold, calculating Savior. This is a Jesus who loves deeply and personally. And yet, he delayed. This is so hard for so many of us. We know what it is to pray for healing, or justice, or safety, or acceptance, and to wait. We know what it is to wonder why help didn't come sooner. We know what it is to say with Martha and Mary, if only you had been here. Jesus does not scold them for this honesty. He does not spiritualize their grief. He enters it. The shortest verse in the Bible might be the most revealing of the divine. Jesus wept. God weeps. God does not stand above our pain, explaining it. God stands with us, crying real tears. For every queer child that is rejected, for every trans life that's endangered, for every love that's declared invalid, for every body that's told it does not belong, for every individual that believes their prayers were not answered, that God did not care, Jesus weeps. Not because he lacks power, but because love refuses to be numb to suffering. Jesus goes to the tomb, not to place stones of guilt or shame, but to remove stones. Lazarus has already been dead for 4 days. The stone is heavy. The smell is real. Martha tries to protect Jesus and herself from disappointment. Lord, already there is a stench. Aren't there parts of each of us that we fear exposing? Parts perhaps shaped by shame, by rejection, by our very survival? Don't we worry that if a stone is rolled away, what people will find will be too much and that we will stink? Jesus does not accept this in Lazarus or in us. God accepts us as we are and where we are. Jesus insists and goes forward and calls Lazarus by name. Lazarus, come out. Notice, Lazarus did not resurrect himself. He does not earn his way out. He responds to Jesus' love, calling him by name. This is resurrection as relationship. We are all called to become alive and to walk out and away from all that holds us back as if we are dead. And it's impossible not to hear these words through a queer lens. Come out. Come out of silence. Come out of fear. Come out of the tombs that others have built for you. Come out of the theology that told you that God would not love you. Come out to the light of your own becoming. It's not a command to perform. It's an invitation to live. What do others use to entomb us? What do we entomb ourselves with? For these very same reason, Jesus also weeps. Can we hear the divine calling us to come out? We know that Lazarus comes out, still bound, which leads to the next instruction that Jesus gives, and you might overlook. Unbind him and let him go. Resurrection is communal. Love does not end at the awakening. It continues in the work of unbinding or the removing of all that restricts, shames, or confines. This is the work of affirming communities, of chosen families, of churches that refuse to leave people wrapped in fear or doctrines that suffocates. Jesus did not do the unbinding alone. He invites the community to participate. This is our work. Paul in Romans reminds us that resurrection is not only something that happens to us, it is something that dwells within us. If the spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through the spirit that is dwelling in you. Not someday. Not elsewhere. Here. Now. These very bodies. For LGBTQ people whose bodies have been policed, medicalized, legislated, and judged, this is radical good news. The spirit does not merely tolerate those bodies. The spirit dwells in them. Queerness is not an obstacle to God's life. A trans body is not a theological problem to be solved. No one's love is a detour from holiness. The same spirit that rolled away stones lives in each one of you. John's gospel is often called the gospel of love, and not because it's soft and sentimental, but because it tells the truth. Love disrupts death. Love cries. Love waits. Love risks disappointments. Love calls people out of places that they were told was final. And love refuses to leave anyone bound. for our community. This means we do not measure faith by conformity or certainty. We measure it by love that gives life. Love that opens graves. Love that names people correctly. Love that weeps without shame. Love that unbinds. Resurrection is not the end of the story. It's the beginning. Lazarus will die again someday. Ezekiel's people will still face their struggle. Resurrection does not erase the realities of oppression or grief, but it does change the story. It tells us that death does not get the final word, not over bodies, not over love, not over identity, and not over hope. So when Jesus calls, "Come out," it's not just about leaving the tomb. It's about stepping into a life shaped by love. A love that claims us, names us, and sends us back into our world unbound. May we hear that call today. May we answer it bravely. And may we always be the kind of community that helps one another live fully and lovingly out of every tomb that we have ever known. Amen.
Amen. Amen.